The irony of like being a listener, but also feeling heard in that process. Even though their stories might be vastly different and their perspectives are so multifaceted, yet the fact is that we're all human being and there's always going to be some common ground between all of us. We're all connected.
This show is here to promote indie podcasters. True Fans itself is really a platform to support the indie podcasters, the long tail. Yeah, we could go and support, you know, Call Her Daddy, Diary of a CEO, and all the other top 25 podcasts like every other app does. But me and Claire took this decision that we think the real value in podcasting, in what we do, is going to be in helping and supporting the independent podcasters to get discovered and also to monetize their content.
Welcome to Creators from True Fans. I'm independent podcaster Claire Waite Brown.
And I'm Sam Seffi, the CEO of True Fans.
Each episode, we'll chat with an independent creator, whether a podcaster or musician, about their creative experiences.
And we'll answer questions from independent creators about the True Fans features that can help them with discovery, interactivity, and monetization.
We'll get interactive and see what our listeners have been saying in the comments and super comments.
And discuss what's happening in the wider world that could be a benefit to independent creators. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Sam. How are you doing?
Great. Are you ready for Christmas?
Yeah.
You would be. You would be, wouldn't you?
I don't actually have to do a lot. I have to give all credit to my husband who does all the glory cooking. So other than organising us to write Christmas cards, don't really have to do a lot.
Wow. I've offered to do the Christmas dinner on every year. Never been taken up on the offer. There you go. Claire, who are we talking to this week?
This time I'm chatting with Jenica Sadwani about her podcast called Multispective. I'm here today with Jenica Sadwani. Hi, Jenica. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. And thank you for pronouncing my name really well, because that's something that I don't get very much. I have a fairly unique name, so I appreciate that you hit the nail on the head with that.
Oh, good. I'm so pleased. Thank you. Okay, start by telling us the name of your podcast and what it's all about, please.
The podcast is called Multispective, short for multiple perspective. That's kind of what ultimately it was born from. The idea of inviting different people to share their versions of their story as they know it, offering different perspectives as to how do they overcome their own life adversities? How do they overcome their own life challenges? What's sort of been born out of it? The personalities that they've created, or the, you know, the creativity in a sense as well that's come out of it. So it's meant to sort of inspire people, but also offer people a chance to be heard in their own story. So, you know, the irony of like being a listener, but also feeling heard in that process, even though their stories might be vastly different and their perspectives are so multifaceted, yet the fact is that we're all human being and there's always going to be some common ground between all of us. We're all connected. And so that's ultimately what it's really about, you know, really sharing people's journeys and stories of adversity and overcoming it.
We have a freedom as independent podcasters to choose those different stories. We're not being led down, and this is what you want you to produce. We can share all those stories, and you can have stories that are completely different, but still be the same show, and people know that that's this show. So why did you feel compelled to start making this podcast?
I guess from my own personal journey, in a sense, I feel like that's one of those things that a lot of creators tend to find in their own lives, or at least in the creative element, is like we're inspired by our own stories, be it adversity of our own, or be it, you know, a spark that just kind of like ignited us. I think it was a combination of both for me. You know, I was raised in a really, really tight-knit community in Hong Kong being super commercial and international, but I myself as an Indian in a very, very tight-knit community, and everyone sort of knows everyone and everyone's sort of like involved in everyone's lives in some way, shape or the other. And reputation is something that's really important. And, you know, I was always told that careful how you project yourself out in public, because that's going to reflect on your family image and your family name and your parents. And so I was always really, really careful about that. And I think to the point where I would keep conversations with people in my community very surface level because I didn't want to get too deep with anyone. And what also came out of that is I became really good at diverting the conversation away from me. So if someone asked me a question that I felt was a little bit too deep, I had a really good way of sort of turning that around and be like, hey, what about you? Like, I'm interested. And it started off with like a technique to protect myself, but I started to realize that people were really open to share their stories. People want to be heard. And so the more I started asking these questions, the more people were sharing their own journey and the more self-reflection I was gaining in my own personal life. I started taking some of this advice or some of this life experiences of other people and their wisdom back home and be like, hey, how can I apply that into my life? Or like, how has that affected me? And just understanding my own path. And so I started genuinely taking a keen interest in other people's lives. And I remember I gotten kind of almost so good at doing this that like I would be at a random restaurant or a bar or in a bus or something, you know, random, and it strike up a conversation with someone. And then like 15 minutes in, they're like, how did you just manage to get my whole life story out of me? What did you just do there?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's what it is. And then one person actually who I literally just met, a stranger, said, do you have a podcast or do you do this for a living? Is this like a job or is this something that you do? And I was like, no, I don't. But that's a great idea. And so that's where that kind of story was just, you know, started and created for me. And I think once I had that idea, I kind of put it on the back burner for a bit, but it was always there. And so that conversation would just keep coming up in different ways, shapes, and forms. And one day I had this conversation with someone and they were like, let's do it. I have a producer. I have a small team of people. We can probably do this together. And so it did start with a small team of us.
Yeah, so it was through meeting someone and then meeting someone and then meeting the right person at the right time to make it happen.
Yeah.
Tell me about your guests. Where do they come from? Where do you find them? Do they come to you? Has it changed over the time?
You know, a wide variety of different things. So when I first started, we didn't have anything to really show for it except an idea, right? A whole concept. And so what we did was we reached out to our network of people to start building a little bit our episode base. So it was me and my co-host at the time, and we reached out to families and friends and people that we knew that, you know, were either in really interesting fields or they were doing something that was kind of different or they had a story that was kind of unique of overcoming adversity. We started out with just a simple concept. And then as we started building our base, then we did have some people start emailing us. I guess at some point, it's like the cloud kind of picks up on the fact that we're a podcast and we have an email address. So you have all of these like individuals and groups and agents that start sending out emails with proposals for their clients. But then there's also a lot of podcast directories. So like Podmatch and podcastdirectory.com as well. A couple of them that really, really, really got that ball rolling for me. So I found that to be really helpful. When I'm looking for specific stories, they can be based or triggered by a Netflix TV show that I just watched or something that's upcoming. So I know that that's going to be trending or that's going to be talked about or stuff that's really trending on Reddit. Then I usually would reach out on Reddit for stories that might be similar to that or, you know, along those kind of lines or those topics.
Forward thinking as well. You've mentioned some other people. You did mention a co-host. I know you don't have a co-host now. We can talk about that if you want to or not. What I want to talk about, though, is what you've already talked about to me smacks of a lot of work. And I know that you're a teacher. So how does this fit in with your everyday life?
You know what? This is one of those things that I feel like a lot of podcasters are struggling with. The more podcasters I speak to, they're having this struggle. And I am too. Like, I have to be very honest. It is probably one of the things that I've struggled with the most with this podcast is, you know, how to find the most efficient way to go about it. That's not only efficient, but that's enhancing to discoverability, you know, that can help with the SEOs, that can help with the marketing, but also that's not going to take away sleep. I do have a full-time job. And that takes up a lot of time. And I want to make sure that when I'm in the classroom, that I'm really spending time with the students. But just to kind of go back to your question, I definitely do outsource some bits. So I will go on things like Freelancer and Upwork because I do think it's really, really important to have someone who's got experience or expertise in certain areas that can maybe try to elevate my content and offer me ideas, yeah, basically just ideas that maybe I wouldn't naturally be able to think of myself. I think I personally enjoy the researching my guests and then hosting aspect of the podcast a lot more than creating the clips and the arts and the graphics and the titles. And so I do use a lot of like AI for that. And I try to generally really schedule in specific time for podcasting. So like every day, at least give myself an hour to an hour and a half per day doing some kind of podcasting work, whether that's going to be social media related things or creating SEO based content. But yeah, I definitely think AI really helps. You know, like I mentioned, those podcast directories, they really, really do help in like scheduling things for me and making sure that I have a good backlog of episodes. So I'm never kind of behind or rushing and trying to, you know, just catch up the pace of things. I have a couple of people as well on the team that sort of keep me on track as well. Like, hey, like, you know, we've got an episode coming up in 2 weeks. Let's get the ball rolling on that. But I do have like a person that helps me with the audio editing and stuff. So that kind of really helps as well take some of the workload off.
You have a good work ethic there. I'm laughing at what you're saying because I don't do that. And I wish I did. Well, sometimes I do. And sometimes I have all the best intentions. Yeah. And then other times I am that person going, oh, I've got to get an episode out on Monday.
Yeah, that feeling. So this is the thing. Like, we are currently releasing episodes once every 2 weeks. So that does buy us a little bit more time per episode. But one of the big pieces of advice that I've seen everywhere online is like, if you want your podcast to grow and be really, really successful, you want to release once a week. And I just find that really stressful to read because there is just, at this point in time, there is just no way that I can get myself to do that. Not while having to do all of these other tasks on top of like hosting, you know, but that is my goal. At some point, if I either find a way to offload more of the workload or have a podcasting producer to kind of look after all of the post-production work and I can focus just on the episodes, then ideally that would be great. And I could probably try to release weekly then.
Yeah. I think it's very important to do what you can handle so that you don't lose the love for your show. I actually quite like fortnightly shows because that gives me a bit of space for listening as well. When some come out weekly or twice a week and I really, really like them, but I'm like, oh no, I've got too many to listen to.
Yeah, exactly.
There's one I really like that comes out once a month. That's a good one for me.
Yeah. Then also that means that they're spending more time like editing and, you know, listening and re-listening to the episodes to make sure that it's really on point and just kind of refined. And I think that's something that we try to do as well. It's like, we don't want to really compromise on the quality. And so just to be like a pumping machine, just to make sure that we've got episodes coming out, that we end up just compromising on the quality is not really something we'd want to do.
No. Quite right too. Okay, looking at podcasting generally, whether for you personally or the whole podcasting ecosystem, what is something that frustrates you about it and something that really excites you about it?
Okay, firstly, the frustrating part is definitely the social media part and like standing out on social media, because it's such a saturated market at this point. There are thousands of podcasts even within each and every niche. So it then becomes, you're not only looking for a way to stand out by niche, but like you're trying to look for like the micro little areas that can help you stand out. And so what ends up happening is that you're not just selling the content, or you're not just promoting the podcast in itself, but you're promoting yourself. And I think that's something that I struggle a little bit with. I am not a huge fan of talking about myself. I just don't do that. And I think this podcast has been really easy because as a host, I'm making it about the guest. I'm there as a sounding board to just ask the questions to give the person a space to speak. But when it comes to making myself known, that's where I struggle. And I've had a lot of people say, but who are you? What is your purpose? And why are you doing this? And I think that's one of those areas that I struggle with. But that's the element that makes every podcast unique. I think that's one of the things, and consistency and efficiency is one of those other aspects of it as well. Like you can't really have full control over, especially when it comes to creativity. It's all about breaking that structure, breaking that routine, trying something new, you know, doing something that's uncomfortable. For me, oftentimes when I get into a flow of things or into a routine, it becomes really hard for me to shake that up. I'm very routine and structured, which is so like the opposite of what a creator does. I feel like creators are so comfortable in their element of just rocking the boat. So many creators and artists that I've ever spoken to, they're always up for innovation and always up to hear, like, you know, ways to change things up. But sometimes for me, that can be a little stressful. Like, okay, wait, I'm going to have to sit down and really plan this. So I do get sometimes like paralysis by analysis. But it's really nice to have like a supportive community, especially the podcasting community, where everyone's just like there to support one another. You know, people are posting for each other, celebrating each other's success, which is so different from like the business world where people are fighting for their name and their space in the business industries. So one of the things that I really enjoyed about podcasting is definitely the community, but also like the fact that there's so much beta testing, you know, like so many platforms are coming out offering different kinds of support to podcasters. So you can see that the space is growing because everyone is doing it out of passion. Even with podcasting 2.0, it's all just created by really, really passionate individuals that are just in it to help other people. Yeah, I feel like you just don't see that so much in a very capitalistic kind of community and world that we live in. So it's just so refreshing to be in a space where, you know, it's just so selfless with one and only one intention, which is to help others.
What about financials? Do you receive any financial support from the show, whether through a Patreon or a sponsorship or anything like that?
So I do have it with Lenny.fm, which I absolutely love that concept. It's so beautifully done the way that they've done this. You can, as a creator, pick four podcasts and you put in, like, say, $4 into it, and that money will be separated. So each of those four podcasts will get a portion of it. So it'll be like $1 per podcast. It's cool because you get to support a few podcasts that mean a lot to you in one kind of like as a combination, as a bulk. I am making a little bit from that. I do also have like Buzzsprout ads every once in a while. So that helps. That's a great option as well. Like, that's really cool that, you know, you can just kind of accept an ad and then, you know, you get a little bit monetization from that. But yeah, I know I saw that the 2.0, podcasting 2.0, please do share it with our listeners. It's really cool, their funding kind of options as well and the value for value. So yeah, do share that.
Yeah. So comments and super comments or boosts is one of them. So people can actually attach a payment when they comment. But the one that I think is the easiest for listeners, especially listeners who love your show as a whole, is that they can set to pay a small amount, a micropayment to your show for every minute they listen.
That's so cool.
If they've set that at the beginning for the whole show, then every time they listen to the show, they pay for what they listen to. And it is a very small amount. You can also do that on an episode level. So I've just listened to your episode with Ruby, who had to go to Bangladesh and get married as a teenager.
Yeah.
So I streamed that episode and I have streamed it paying you 5 sats a minute.
Oh,
you can choose it in your currency. You don't have to use sats, which is a very, very small amount. So don't get too excited, Benica. So when you go to your show on True Fans, you can click on activity and it shows you who's listened, how long they've listened to, whether they've paid you, whether they've left you a review, whether they've left you a comment. So I like that. I keep promoting that as an option for listeners who really want to support their shows to make sure they're always going to be there.
Yeah. And I found those Lightning wallets, like the Bitcoin payment thing, was really fascinating as well, because I didn't really know or have much of an idea that this was something that a lot of people are really, really doing now, like, you know, transactions using Bitcoin. I thought that we still kind of are using traditional payment methods typically for things. So, you know, that was really interesting. And I'm keen on like creating a wallet, a Bitcoin wallet, just sort of test out that kind of area.
True Fans gives you its own wallet. I do have a Lightning wallet with Fountain. But what I like about it is in both cases that you can go and get the money back out again. Another one for you. Do you know about Podroll as a podcasting 2.0 feature? Have you got to that in the podcasting 2.0 in practice?
I did come across it. Not on the episode. I haven't gotten into the episode yet. No, I had gotten to chapters, and that's kind of where I'm at right now.
And I saw you'd put chapters in. So well done. Well done for doing the homework.
Yeah. I know. I love it. I was like, I love these. Okay. By the way, listeners, you have to listen to this because these little homework tasks are so doable. And if for whatever reason, like you happen to miss little like bits and pieces here and there, you can go into the description. The links are all there. The step-by-step tasks are there. And it's all followed by an episode on that specific topic. So you listen to the episode on chapters and then you do the homework. And those homework like episodes are like 2 to 3 minutes long. So, you know, but it's just so fun to be on the platform, browse around and follow the steps as, you know, Claire, you're talking about it. I just love it. It's so educational, so informational, and just so fun, like to listen to as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so pleased. That's the aim. That's the real human side of it, getting in there and making it doable. When you get to Podroll, you'll like Podroll. And then because you're with Buzzsprout, you can put creativity found on your Podroll. And in the meantime, if I haven't already done it, which I might have done, I'll put multispective on creativity found's Podroll.
Okay. That's fun. Hell yeah. That's so cool.
Brilliant. So tell me again, then, we've mentioned the social media, the dreaded social media, which is lots of people's not favorite thing as well. But tell me again, the name of the show and all the places that people can find you.
On Facebook, on Instagram. Those are the two platforms I would say we're most active on. And like, you know, Instagram is something that I'm always checking. So if you do message me there, like I will definitely be more responsive. We're on Twitter as well. And we are on Reddit and we do post a lot of our stuff on there as well. So yeah, those are the platforms that we are on. And so on Instagram, we're instagram.com/multispective podcast. And we have a website as well, multispective.org, and you can hear and you can watch all of our podcast episodes on there as well. The videos are embedded in there and it will direct you straight to our YouTube page to watch the episodes. So I would definitely say like, do give our YouTube channel a check. It's called youtube.com/multispective podcast as well. That's where you get to really put a face to those voices that you hear. And, you know, that was one of the things that a lot of our listeners came back to us at first when we started with audio only, like, hey, we want to see, you know, who are these people that are talking? Like, they've got such fascinating stories. Who are they? And who are you? And I want to see like that rapport between the both of you. And so that's why we started YouTube. And that's been such a fun journey to have because we've tapped into like totally different audience spaces and everything as well. So yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Jenica. It's been really lovely to chat with you.
Thank you so much, Claire, for your time and, you know, being here with me.
You're welcome. Jenica talked about the video versions of the Multispective podcast that she uploads to YouTube. But Jenica could also, if she wanted to, upload those videos to True Fans in the alternate enclosure for the relevant episode by visiting her creator's dashboard in True Fans, which I didn't think to mention to her at the time. But that's something that can be done. So, Jenica, if you want to chat more about how to do that in True Fans, you can drop me a line. We also talked about that in episode 16 of Creators.
By the way, there is also another way of doing it. So yes, you can come to True Fans, as you said, Claire, and directly upload the video in the alternative enclosure, or you can go to your creator's dashboard for your podcast. And there in the advanced tab is a section called YouTube playlist. So what you could do is go over to YouTube, find your podcast playlist, cut and paste the URL and put it into True Fans, and we will sync all of the YouTube episodes with your audio episodes in TrueFans. So then we auto-populate, in effect, your alternative enclosure for you.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds like an easier option, doesn't it?
It does. We were working out, can we do it once? Yes, it works. Now, can we do it for everyone's episodes? Somebody's got 50 episodes. That's going to take them a long time. Can we do it quicker? Yes, we can.
Brilliant.
There is a link to the multi-perspective in the show notes.
Multispective.
Okay, try that again. There is a link to spective.
I can't get the purr out.
Right.
Multispective.
Right.
Without the purr.
Right. There is a link to multispective in the show notes for this episode of Creators, and new episodes will be clear to see on the homepage at True Fans. Multispective is also featured in the Creators from True Fans Podroll Nice, which you can find by clicking on the recommendations tab on the show page.
If you'd like to explore anything that Jenica and I spoke about in that interview, please leave a comment or super comment in True Fans by clicking on the speech bubble icon or the tab called Comments.
And while you're there, if you're an independent podcast creator, why not put yourself forward to be a future guest on Creators from True Fans?
If you'd like to chat with us about your independent podcast or your music, send a comment or super comment in True Fans to any creator's episode by clicking on the speech bubble icon or on the comments tab.
Claire, Fanbox, have we any messages since the last episode?
Well, I had a conversation on Substack, funnily enough.
Oh, look at you.
I know. I mean, we do like to encourage people to leave comments on True Fans because you can do it right there. But some people listen to this show on different podcast apps, Sam.
Really?
I know.
Wow. Nice. Thank you.
So Simon Josie contacted me on Substack and said, I really enjoy the podcast. It's very interesting to listen to other podcasters talk about their process and experience in podcasting. So that's good to know.
Mm.
We carried on chatting and Simon also said, so this is the question bit now.
Right.
Serious question. Do you have any idea, i.e. have you seen any data, telling us how popular podcasting 2.0 features are? I'm thinking of features like transcripts, for example. I'm a very traditional listener in that I almost always listen when doing other activities and I never look at a transcript. If there's a link or some other vital information, I expect that information to be included in the show notes. Am I a dinosaur? So I replied, talking about some of the ways these features can be useful as a support for those who are hard of hearing, for example, but also the ways that chapters and transcripts can help you to navigate an episode or search for something you've heard and might want to share or revisit. And we do put the links in the show notes as well, but we'll put them in the chapters if they're relevant, just gives you that extra choice. But I did not have an answer for the first part of the question. Sam, are there ways to track listeners' interactions with 2.0 features, e.g. transcripts and chapters?
Yes, there are. Not within True Fans. There's a wonderful company called PodEngine.ai, and PodEngine actually track every podcast and every episode, and they also track how many transcripts there are and how many chapters there are. So you can go over to podengine.ai, create a free account, and it will give you a number, and I don't know what that is at the moment, of how many transcripts exist and how many people are using chapters. It's got a lot more information about other podcasting 2.0 tags as well, so how many people are using the person tag, the funding tag. So well worth a look if you want the analysis on the industry of who's using or how many of the tags are being used across the industry. So that's the first part, I would say. The second part, are you a dinosaur? Well, not really, but the world has moved on. What's happening? And Apple is leading the charge on this. And I'll say in the new year, True Fans will be following pursuit of Apple, but Apple's leading the charge. So Apple has automated creating transcripts for every podcast if it doesn't find your own transcript. So if you haven't uploaded one with your host, then Apple will create automatically one for you unless you opt out. They'll do the same now with chapters. But what Apple have done, and again, I think this is what we're going to see a lot more in 2026, is building on the initial building blocks. So now everyone is going to have a transcript. Then you can start to do analysis using AI of what's in the transcript. Did they mention a book? Did they mention some music? Did they mention a location? Did they mention another person or another podcast? So you can then highlight those, like hyperlink them within the transcript, and then link to those externally. Now, Apple limit their feature just to Apple Music or Apple Books or Apple content. We are building our AI transcript. It'll be available in the new year. We'll use what Apple call it, which is timed links. We might not call it that, but that's what Apple currently call it. And we will hyperlink out to not just Apple platforms, but maybe it might be Amazon. It might be a link out to Audible. It might be a link out to another platform. So I think transcripts are going to become really interesting in 2026. Now that the building blocks are there, people are adding them, people are aware of them. The AI is getting better at actually, you know, the error rate used to be like 88% was accurate, then 12% was, you know, words misspelled, names misspelled, whatever. So as that accuracy increases and the AIs get smarter, we can now start to ask them to do things with the transcript. The same is true with chapters and chapter links. Again, we can start to be cleverer. You know, it could be that you have a chapter that has something in the transcript and you go, oh, actually, that transcript link should be the link I use for this chapter. So you can automate that as the first pass and then allow the creator to change it in the admin dashboard. Lots to come in 26 around this. I think it's super exciting because discovery of content within long form audio has always been hard. And this is one great way, I think, chapters and transcripts to segment those down and then help with, I don't know, it might be an affiliate link you add, you know, so you can monetize this podcast episode of yours. It might be a way to promote your live event that you're about to do. So I think watching 26, I think you'll see a lot more with transcripts.
Brilliant. Yeah, I would like that option to be able to do it with my own links. For example, mm-hmm. I would link to bookshop.org because I have a bookshop on there.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, be able to stay in control, which is why we make our own transcripts and we make our own chapters because I'm a control freak. No, because I like to know what's going out there.
Hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah, that was really interesting. Two parts of that, actually. Thank you. Just to finish, Simon also commented on the interview with Jane Morgan from The Friendship File, saying it was a lovely interview. So thank you very much, Simon, for that.
Yes, it was. It was very good. So Claire, anything happening in the world beyond the world of True Fans?
Yes, there is a world beyond True Fans, Sam.
I don't know.
Actually, no, there isn't, because I'm just going to talk more about True Fans. So friend of the show. Yay, I get to say that. Frank Rasiopi, he wrote another great blog recently, this time entitled Why Aren't Indie Podcasters Major Players in Awards and Festivals? I will, of course, put a link to that piece in the chapters. He mentions in that piece that lots of fabulous indie creators and innovators who he feels should and could be more visible in the world of podcasts and live events just aren't. And I just wanted to thank Frank for writing that and encourage everybody to go and read it.
And another thank you to Frank, by the way, because he also put us in his top 10 indie podcasts of 2025. Wow, thank you so much. And including creators from True Fans in that list was a lovely surprise, I have to say. This show, again, just as a reminder, is here to promote indie podcasters. True Fans itself is really a platform to support the indie podcasters, the long tail. Yeah, you know, we could go and support, you know, Call Her Daddy, Diary of a CEO, and all the other top 25 podcasts like every other app does. But me and Claire took this decision that we think the real value in podcasting in what we do is going to be in helping and supporting the independent podcasters to get discovered and also to monetize their content. They're not going to be getting big advertising deals. That's not going to happen for most, but they can have direct-to-fan integration, you know, for comments. It might be micro-payments, or it could be a subscription. All of those ways of monetizing are what we're going to try and help with the independent podcast creators because, you know, every penny counts. And I think the way that we're setting it up for 2026, I think it'll be great.
So glad that we made that decision to be indie focused. We have, Sam, spoken to 13 independent podcasters since we started.
The Baker's Dozen.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what we've done this year. I've still got interviews in the bag to start releasing next year. In January, we're going to put out a special episode where some of those podcasters have been in touch again to tell us what their hopes are for 2026 for their show and for the independent podcast industry in general. And I've been listening to those and there are some really, really lovely comments on that. So look forward to that in January.
And I think one of the things I'm thinking out loud now, Claire, so I'm probably going to get told off, but I think what we will do for all 13 of those, if they're coming to London for the London Podcast Show, we will give them a ticket for the London Podcast Show.
Blimey.
What?
okay.
It's fine. I think it's worth it. And if they are there, I think maybe what we can do is have a meetup as well. It'd be nice to meet them all in person.
Yes, yes.
So get in with Claire. Make sure that if you want to be featured on this show, that you contact Claire. And yes, maybe you'll get a free ticket as well.
Brilliant. Thank you.
That's all right. And Claire, you're off to Podfest in the new year as well. Just checking.
Yes, yes. My flight's booked. My hotel is booked. Looking forward to it. I've been, the past 2 years, made some lovely friends, met old friends, made new friends. So yes, I am looking forward to going off to Florida in January.
Nice. And that's it for this week, Claire. Our audio is recorded on Riverside, edited by you, and we are hosted by True Fans.
You can support this show by streaming Sats from your True Fans wallet, or leave us a super comment, or better still, become a monthly supporter of the show.
If you would like to promote your podcast in the feed for this show, go to your creator's dashboard, then click on the pencil icon next to your podcast, locate podcast promotions, and search for this show, Creators from True Fans, and you can send us a request.
You can find out more about how to use the features of the True Fans platform by listening to our sister podcast, Fan Zone. And if you're keen to learn more about podcasting 2.0, do check out my course-based podcast called Podcasting 2.0 in Practice, which does have a recent episode talking about the Apple chapters that we spoke about earlier.
So it just leaves me to say happy Christmas to everyone and a happy new year. We'll see you in the new year.